the way to Jerusalem, Jesus was going through the region between Samaria and Galilee. He entered a village. 10 leopards approached him, keeping their distance. They called out, saying, "Jesus, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." When he saw them, he said to them, "Go, show yourself to the priest." As he went, they were made clean. Then one of them, when he saw he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice. He prostrated himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him. He was a good Samaritan. Jesus asked, "Were not 10 made clean? But the other 9, where are they?" None of them found to return and give praise to God except his foreigner. Then he said to him, "Get up and go on your way. Your faith has made you well." The word of God for the people of God.
Good job, Nora. Thank you. A couple of things before our message this morning. First, I want to recognize Jim Morrow and folks who helped Jim with our Thanksgiving display on the altar this morning. It's a beautiful visual attention getter that we are here to celebrate. And then make sure you come back next Sunday for the start of Advent and a new worship series called Christmas Props. Think of a peopleless nativity. We're going to have just the objects of the nativity scene every week and reflect on the stories behind each object and how they support the grand narrative that we're celebrating at Christmas time. So we hope you'll be back with us next week, start of a new series, Christmas Props. As we get ready for today's message, would you join me right now in a brief word of prayer? Lord, prepare us now for this message. Give us reflection to consider the reasons we have to be thankful, and then to consider how you would have us respond to that gratitude. In Christ's name, amen. A first grade teacher in Cleveland, Tennessee, tells the story about working with a little girl one-on-one reading. For the first time, this little girl came to the words, "Thank you," in print, and she just paused and stared at the page. The teacher was waiting for her to start using her newly learned reading skills and try to form the word, but after a little while, she decided to help her and quietly whispered, "Thank, thank." Well, the little girl didn't respond. She just kept staring at the page, so the teacher said more emphatically, "Thank, thank." Finally, the little girl in her Tennessee dialect looked up and said, "I am thanking. I am thanking." I think that's funnier to me because I just came back from South Carolina last week. There's a lot of thanking going on down there. Thinking and thanking go hand in hand. It's important at least once a year to pause and reflect and think about where our lives are and the reasons we have to give thanks. Have there been weddings in your family? Have there been births? Have there been new jobs or promotions or positive transitions? Reasons to stop and go, "You know, this has been a good year. I am so very thankful. I'm thankful. I'm thankful for 2 graduations, our first college graduation, our last high school graduation." Thankful that our 2 girls in college currently are doing really well at Butler, and Anna's off to an awesome start at Purdue. I wish the football team was too, but Anna's loving Purdue. I'm thankful for our friends. As I think back over the friends who just make life better, I think about new friends Susan and I have made this year. And they're the kind of people I believe are going to continue to be friends for a long time in our lives. I'm thankful for our church. I'm thankful for the ministry that happens through St. Luke's, starting a food pantry this year, continued tremendous outreach, the stories of transformation I hear from so many in our fellowship. I'm thankful that I could watch from a distance last week our worship service and take such great pride in the way our team came together to lead a service that every one of us needed, including me. Thankful for the way Dave Williamson so powerfully articulated what I'm sure all of us were feeling inside. I'm thankful for such a sign of faithful commitment from our church and our stewardship campaign. Did you know that currently we're about 12% ahead in our pledges right now from where we were a year ago? I don't know many other churches in the country that can say that. I'm thankful for our steadfast commitment. And people who say, count on us, we're all in to keep making ministry happen in 2016. It's important to think about why we have a reason to be thankful. So for the next few minutes, I want us to think about a story in the Bible that gives us a couple of wonderful lessons on Thanksgiving. It's a story that begins with 10 people who were actually in a season of despair, 10 lepers. In the Bible, to receive a diagnosis of leprosy was a social death sentence. It meant that you were excluded from community. If you got near another person, you would have to shout at a distance, unclean, unclean, so that you didn't contaminate somebody, so that they made sure they did not get close to you. So Jesus approaches a village, and a group of 10 lepers come toward him, but instead of shouting the words they're supposed to, unclean, they shout, Jesus, have mercy, Kyrie eleison, Lord, have mercy. And we learn that one of them is a Samaritan. Now, this is interesting because, as many of us know, Jews and Samaritans, they didn't have anything to do with each other. The Jews had a racial dislike for Samaritans. It goes long back in history when Samaria was the capital of Israel, and they were conquered by a foreign enemy. And people from other lands were transported into that city. And those people became Jewish by faith, but not by race. So Jews by birth despise Samaritans. They wouldn't have anything to do with it. So isn't it interesting that these 10 people who in the condition of their leprosy find the ability to come together? When life gets to its basest element, we all find that. We all find that the things that can separate us in good times just don't matter in bad. We can find a link with others that we wouldn't experience otherwise. So they come to Jesus, and what happens next? I want to talk about in terms of a couple of words that make important implications about Thanksgiving. And the first word is go. Now, I want to make sure you've got that one down, so I want you to say it after me. Go. 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 Go, says Jesus, and show yourselves to the priest. Why does he tell them to do that? Because the priest is the only one who can pronounce you clean, the only one who can give you a bill of health that will allow you to enter back into community again. In other words, Jesus says to them, in their state of leprosy, go and show yourselves to the priest as if you're clean. It's almost sounding cruel, isn't it? Why would Jesus tell somebody in their despair, I want you to act like you're not? I want you to go as if you're already well. I want you to act healed. I mean, doesn't that sound cruel? To take somebody who's hurting and just say, go, as if you're not hurting. But there's something powerful about this notion that in going, something happened. That these 10 were obedient to go. They did not let their condition keep them from going. They didn't say, no, Lord, that's why we're here. We need you to heal us. Why would we go until you do? But they go anyway. They don't let the condition they're in keep them from walking in a direction of the condition they want to be in. They go believing that their state right now is not going to be a permanent state, that they can be blessed. You see, there's a part that we play in our blessing. We can either sit in a time of despair and let that become our only reality, or we can go and walk in the direction of a new reality. Go. Go. Go when you just lost your job and you want to let that reality convince you that you're never going to have a job again. No. Go and believe that that new job is waiting on you, that that new door of opportunity is waiting to be walked through. Go and believe that God is going to watch out for you and prevail. Just that was a cue right there. Try that again, congregation. Just when you find out from your doctor something devastating in terms of your health, and choose to believe that your blessings have not all been removed from your life, you still have reasons to be thankful, and even more, that the path that you're on now might hold some blessings you would not discover otherwise. Just when you've lost a dream and a hope has been taken away, when the plans you had for your life are not working out, and go anyway, and trust that your life is not limited by one dream. You are not defined by a single hope, that the God you worship is one who can make all things possible. So just and as these 10 went, they discovered something. They found that they had been healed. They had been made well. William Sangster, one of the great preachers in Methodist history, was the pastor of Central Hall in Westminster in London in the middle part of the 20th century. He tells about a minister friend of his who used to visit a little girl who had many illnesses. One of them was curvature of the spine. Back in that time, the only way they treated curvature of the spine was to strap a child in what was called a Phelps box, this grim object that looked like a little coffin. And a child would have to live in this box. So she was placed by a window in her bedroom, and when he went to see her one day, he asked her about what it's like to be in this condition, and she said, "Well, some nights when I can't sleep, I'm glad that I get to look out the window because then I can play with the stars." And the pastor said, "Play with the stars? How do you do that?" She said, "Well, I find the brightest star and I call that one Mommy. Then I find the next brightest and I call that one Daddy." I always think it's interesting. Children find the next brightest to talk about being Daddy. "Then I find some other twinkling ones, and I call that my brother and my sister and my doctor." And on and on and on she went. And then she said, "The only bad part about the game is I always run out of stars." Sangster tells that story to his congregation and says to his people, "So go and thank your lucky stars. Thank your lucky stars. Go." It's a good word. But it's not the only word in this story. Because as the 10 realized they had been healed, the Samaritan came back to give thanks to Jesus. And Jesus' response is, "Were not 10 healed? Where are the other 9? And I kind of want to defend the 9. Jesus is accusing them of ingratitude, but weren't they doing what Jesus told them to do in the first place? Didn't he say, go to the priest? And that's what they were doing. Why would they even stop to turn around? Because they're going to get their clean bill of health. They're in a rush to get back to life the way it used to be, a life where they did not have to be in community with a Samaritan. This Samaritan had no priest to pronounce him clean. He was not in such a hurry to get back to the life he had that he couldn't stop and say, wait, I've just been blessed. What a deal, I've just been made well. I'm going to come back and say thanks. Oh, how important is it when we not only feel thankful for something, but we come back and we express it. A few months ago, I was coming back to the church from lunch. And as I was heading toward the office door, I looked out at the people working in our parking lot. And they were doing some of the landscaping, and I was just thinking how beautiful our parking lot is. And as I got to the door, unlocking it, ready to walk in, I just thought, I'm so thankful for what those guys are doing out there. And then this voice inside of me said, then come back. So I let the door shut, I walked across the parking lot, I went to one of the men doing the work, and I said, listen, I want you to know how thankful I am for the work you're doing out here. I'm sure you're not being compensated at all like you deserve. You're doing an awesome job, and I want you to know I appreciate it. He stopped, and he said, you made my day. You really made my day. I said, well, I'm glad to know that, but I want you to know I appreciate it. I headed back to the office, not knowing he followed me. Got to the door, he tapped me on the shoulder. I turned around and said, I want you to know you really made my day. I don't know what that means, but I know it means something, because just a little action to come back. How big a deal can that be? Sometimes our spouse can do something for us. Sometimes our children can do something for us. It's little, it's not extraordinary, but the thought flashes to our mind, I'm thankful when that person does that. But come back and let them know it. Sometimes we can go to a store where a clerk goes out of his or her way to help us, and it even saves us a little money, and we go out to the car, we get ready to get in the car, and we think, boy, I am grateful for what that person did to me. Don't just be grateful, come back. Go to the person and take out the money they saved you and say, I want you to have this. I'm appreciative of what you've done. Sometimes a coworker can do things from day to day that it just becomes easy to take for granted until the day that we get their resignation because they've taken a better job somewhere. And we go, oh, I wish I'd have let them know how much they mean. Come back. Come back and let them know. How big a deal is that? Mark Trotter tells about a husband and wife getting ready to attend a memorial service of the son of friends of theirs, a young man who had been killed in war. As they're getting ready to go to the church, the wife says to the husband that she understands that the other couple had made a $50,000 gift to the new sanctuary at their church for a stained glass window in memory of their son. The husband, as he was getting ready, tying his tie, said, well, gosh, that's wonderful. Then the wife said, I wonder what we should give. And the husband said, well, what do you mean? Well, what should we give? They didn't get their son back, and they gave a gift to the church. Our son came back from the war. I wonder what we should give. Come back. Go. Go when you're in a season of despair. Go when you're struggling and hurting to believe that God has not run out of possibilities to bless your life and there are better places that await you. Just go. And when you receive those better things, come back. That's what we do every week in church. In just a moment, we say the benediction, and I say, go and be God's people in the world to live by the faith and the help that God provides, and then come back next week.